We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha. This happens to be the 21st shiur on this topic. And in some ways, this shiur might be the most important and the most special because of the fact that tonight's shiur is based on the chapter in Likutei Moran, in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 24, which begins with the internationally renowned statement, Mitzvah gedoyla lihiyois besimcha tomid. This is a famous quote of Rabbi Nachman, whereby he said, it's a great mitzvah to be happy always. Tomid means always. Tomid means constantly. And there are people, some of them more intelligent, some of them less intelligent, some of them more learned, some of them less learned, who hear this, and right away they start analyzing, where does it say? Where does this mitzvah say? I don't remember learning such a mitzvah. Is this one of the 613 mitzvahs? And we could spend several hours discussing that and proving it and explaining it. We'll try maybe to spend a couple of minutes, to limit it to a couple of minutes. If you take a look in the Toichacha, we know that there are two places in the Torah where Hashem says to the Jewish people that if you listen to my instructions, you'll be given all of the following blessings. And it lists incredible, beautiful, special blessings. And then Hashem says, and if you don't, then here's what I'm going to do. And that section is called the Toichacha, where Hashem reprimands the Jews very harshly, very severely. And he tells us, he describes the curses, the suffering, the pain, the sickness that will come upon the Jewish people if they choose to reject Hashem's path completely. This appears twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Bechukosai, at the end of Chumash Vayikra, and once in Parshas Kisavoy. And that's the reading that we read usually right before Rosh Hashanah. And in the one in Kisavoy, One of the major lines in the Toichacha there is where Hashem says, you know why all of this is going to happen to you? Tachas asher lo yavadeto as Hashem alekecha besimcha uvetuv levav meroiv koil. Because you did not serve Hashem with happiness, with a good heartedness, based on all the plentifulness that you had. This is one of the places in the Torah where Hashem makes it perfectly clear that it's not enough to serve Hashem. It's not enough to do the mitzvah. If a Jew does mitzvahs, if a Jew studies Torah, puts on tefillin, eats kosher, does all of these things, but isn't happy about it, there's something very, very major and critical that's missing in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, in the effectiveness of the mitzvah. We're told by the Arizal, who lived in the 1500s, who was the most outstanding master in teaching Kabbalah and in opening up the secrets of the Zohar HaKadosh and clarifying thousands and thousands of mysteries, which until he came along, the people that studied the Zohar HaKadosh couldn't make heads or tails of most of it. And the Arizal was privileged to come along and to reveal, to open it up incredibly, and to document what's called the Kisvei HaArizal, the writings of the Arizal, which his student Reb Chaim Vitalzal is the one who first wrote it all down, he documented it, and his son Reb Shmuel Vital is the one who organized it and published it into what we have today, the Shmoyne Sheorim and the other volumes, incredible volumes of the writings of the Arizal. Now, Reb Chaim Vitalzal once asked the Arizal, Rebbe, what made you so different? What set you apart from all the other great, great rabbis in this generation? They were living at a time of the when the authors of the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karoy, the Al Shech HaKodesh, giants, incredible giants that lived in Tzfas at the time, in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Loretz, major, major rabbis who were very great, but didn't come anywhere near the league of the Arizal in the things that the Arizal was able to reveal, secrets of Torah. The Arizal had the ability to look at a person and be able to tell the person all the different reincarnations that they had been in this world and why they were here and why they had to come back, whether they, what they completed, what they didn't complete, incredible, incredible things, which no other rabbi in his generation came close. The Rabbi Chaim Vitalzal writes that if the Arizal had lived during the time of the Tanoim, he would have been a Chiddush, even at that time. The Arizal went in his sleep, when he was sleeping, he told his students he was invited into all the different yeshivas in heaven. He had a pass where he was permitted entrance. In fact, he was welcome. They urged him. He was asked to come to sit in the different yeshivas in heaven, the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, all the different incredible places where Torah was being studied there. So Reb Chaim Vitalzal asked his rabbi, what's your secret? What made you so different from all of these other rabbis? And the Arizal said to him, it was one thing specifically. When I performed mitzvahs, I did them with incredible happiness and joy. That's the secret. When I did a mitzvah, I did it with tremendous simcha. And the Arizal said, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Sos anoichi alim rasecha kemoitze sholol rov." Hashem, I rejoiced over your commandments like a person who found an incredible treasure, like a person who won the lottery. The kind of joy and happiness that a person would have today in the year 2010. Tufshin Ayin. We know there'll come a time when they'll say $200 million and they'll say that's nothing. Every clown has 200. But today, $200 or $300 million is still something pretty big. And those are some of the lotteries that they have today in different places in the world. Imagine the kind of joy, the kind of feeling of happiness and success and victory that a person who's informed that they just won the lottery several $100 million, the Arizal said that's what he felt every single time he performed a mitzvah. And that's what made his mitzvah have a totally different value in the eyes of Hashem. And it brought him closer to Hashem in a completely different way than Jews who perform mitzvahs without that level of joy. This is a little bit of clarification on this opening sentence, mitzvah gedoylo lihiyois besimcha tomid. There are many psukim throughout the Torah, in Tehillim, ivdu es Hashem besimcha, many psukim, which if a person studies, they'll see that this is not overkill. Rabbeinu Zal wasn't exaggerating in any way. He wasn't adding anything to the Torah. This is something that's perfectly acceptable to all streams of Judaism. There isn't any stream of Judaism from Russia, Lithuania, Yerushalayim, Tzfas, Mongolia, New York, anywhere, there isn't any Jew who would practice legitimate Judaism who could possibly have a way out of this sentence, out of realizing the truthfulness of this statement. Rabbeinu Zal continues, it's a tremendous mitzvah to be happy at all times and to work hard, to do everything you can to distance depression and unhappiness from yourself, using everything that you possibly can, to use all your might to keep depression, unhappiness as far away from yourself. Stay away from those things that could possibly bring you to that. If a person knows that looking over, sitting, taking all of his bills, all his outstanding bills, and sitting down and looking them over and dwelling on them is going to get him depressed, Rabbeinu Zal says, don't do it. A legitimate religious Jew should not do it. Be careful. Avoid the, so what do you mean? I shouldn't pay my bills? I should tear it up? I should throw it out? No. But go about it in a way, if you know that doing it in a certain way is going to overwhelm you and get you into depression, then you have to find a different way to deal with it, a different way to go about it. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say that all sicknesses, kol hacholas, all illnesses that come on a person, come only, every word here is critical, come only from a lack of simcha, a deficiency in happiness. People go to doctors, and the doctors take blood tests, urine tests, brain tests, and they come up with a whole list of the different deficiencies. Hemoglobin deficiency, this all, they got 300 words, most of which they themselves don't understand, or for sure the patient doesn't understand. Rabbi Nizal makes it very simple. He says all illnesses, no exceptions, specifically reflect a deficiency in simcha. Meaning that if a person were 100% in this area of joy and happiness, they would not be ill, or they could cure the vast, vast majority of illnesses. And Rabbi Nizal goes on to explain, there are 10 types of song that are mentioned in Judaism. The first Rashi in the Sefer Tehillim speaks about this, introduces this, that the book of Psalms, the book of Tehillim, is written based on these 10 types of song. Mizmor, Shir, they're listed, they're enumerated. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Psochim and the Zohar HaKadosh that list these 10 types of song and explain them. And they're referred to in a pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk in Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, chapter 92 in Tehillim, where it says there, Alei osor va'alei novel, alei higoyoin bechinor, ki simachtani Hashem befolecho. The pasuk there refers to a person being joyous and happy with all of Hashem's creation, and that this joy and happiness reflects itself in these 10 types of song. Asora mine negina, they're referred to. And Rabbi Nizal says these 10 types of song, these 10 levels of joy, correspond to and enter into the pulse of a person, the pulse in the hand. We know that certainly years ago, 100 years ago and more, most doctors, when they wanted to check on a person's health, when a person wasn't feeling well, and they wanted to analyze the problem, one of the first places that they would start would be the dafik, the pulse. And even today, despite the fact all the instruments that we have, the computers that measure a person's fever, blood pressure, all kind of things, even today, most doctors will take the person's pulse. That's one of the first steps to be able to see where the person is holding in their health. And Rabbi Nizal here quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that there are 10 types of pulse, 10 pulses, and these 10 types of song, which mean actually 10 levels of joy, correspond to those 10 pulses. They are what feed, give the energy, the proper energy, to these 10 types of pulses. This is mentioned in the Tikkuni Zohar, Tikkun 69, one of the longest chapters in the Tikkuni Zohar. Therefore, when there is any kind of deficiency or defectiveness in the joy, in the happiness, which means in these 10 types of song, this causes illnesses and deficiencies and defectiveness in the pulse. Because all types of illnesses are included in these 10 types of pulses. Now, a person would say, that sounds ridiculous. I mean, today they have books that list hundreds of thousands of illnesses. How in the world could 100,000 different, you know, be? We know when it comes to music, those that know that there are thousands or millions of songs, every different type of variation of song. And yet all of these songs, those that study music and learn music, know that music is based on eight notes, octaves, and all kinds of different variations and fluctuations of those that, all the different music in the world, every different instrument, every different type of, can all be broken down to the most basic elements, which are these notes. So too, Rabbeinu Zal tells us all different types of illnesses are related to these 10 pulses, which draw their positive energy from these 10 levels of joy and happiness that are referred to as these 10 types of song. And Rabbeinu Zal says that even doctors have elaborated on this and have come to the realization that all types of illness are affected by and caused by depression, sadness, unhappiness. That's what weakens the body. That's what makes a person susceptible and vulnerable to all types of illness, Rachmana Litzlan. And that's what makes it when a person does become ill, that they're not able to recover or recover quickly. Because this joy and happiness is one of the most incredible, powerful medicines to pull a person out of illness. In the future, Rabbeinu Zal says, when the joy and happiness in the world is going to be increased, you know, multiplied thousands of times over, the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Oz yimole schoik pinul shenein orina," that when Mashiach comes, when we're going to have the final redemption, the Jewish people and the entire world is going to be filled with incredible joy and happiness. And that's why the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, and also the Medrash Rabbah brings this in Parsha Shmini, Osid HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lihiyois Roish Choyle LeTzadikim Losid Lovoi. Hashem is going to be the leader of the dance for the Tzadikim in the future. Now, the term that's used in the Medrash and in the Gemara is Roish Choyle. The word Choyle has a double meaning. The word Choyle means a person who is sick. And the word Choyle is also associated with the word Machol. Machol means a circle. When people dance in a circle as an expression of tremendous joy and happiness. So Rabbeinu Zal says that Hashem is going to make a circle for all the tzaddikim. And Hashem is going to be the leader in the circle. He's going to be leading the dance. He's going to be the Rosh Choyle. That's the terminology that's used. He's going to be the leader of in this expression of joy. And also, he's going to be the leader in solving all sicknesses. We know the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Moshiach comes, the Gula, the redemption, is going to be manifested in three parts, three phases, that are presented in a pasuk in Tehillim. Phase one is Boinei Yerushalayim Hashem, that Hashem is going to build up the city of Yerushalayim. Phase two, Nidche Yisroel Yechanes. Hashem is going to gather in all the Jews in Golus. All the Jews outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Eretz Yisrael, are all going to be gathered into Eretz Yisrael. And phase three is Horoife Leshvure Lev Umechabe Shlatzvoisam. That Hashem is going to heal. Hashem is going to cure through Moshiach. Hashem is going to cure and heal everyone from every type of illness. And again, all these illnesses are referred there as shvurei lev, brokenheartedness, and atzvus, depression. So now Rabbeinu Zal says that Hashem is going to be the Rosh Choyle. That's the expression that's used. Rosh Choyle means leader of the circle, and Rosh Choyle means also at the head of a person who is sick. Because we know the Gemara says in Adorim, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Yisodenu al Eres Devoi, Hashem nourishes and sustains a person on his sick bed. Eres means a bed, Devoi means, again, illness, sadness, depression. And Rabbeinu Zal says, because a person who is really sick has no source of life. The Gemara says sickness, illness is a 60th of death. When a person becomes ill, Rabbeinu Zal points out in another place, usually, when a person becomes sick, seriously ill, they have no appetite. You offer them, they see something that would normally, you know, tantalize their taste buds. You know, they see the most delicious sizzling steak coming right off the barbecue, or they see the most gorgeous strawberry shortcake. And the person says, no thanks, not interested. What do you mean? Yesterday you would have devoured the whole thing. How, Because I have no appetite for it. Rabbeinu Zal says one of the reasons for that is because when a person becomes ill, their soul is starting to take leave. They're one step out of this world and one step into the next world. It's a taste of death. And just like in the next world, there's no gashmius, there's no physical desires, you know, things like that. When a person becomes sick, they're moving in that direction, and therefore they're not tempted and they're not excited by the regular physical and materialistic desires. So Rabbeinu Zal says, when a person is sick like that, what's sustaining them? What's giving them life? It's the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem. That's what's keeping the person alive. That's what's giving them the energy that's sustaining them at that time. As the Pasuk says, Hashem Yisodeno, Hashem is present at the head or at the foot of the bed of a person who is ill. Note, interestingly, that this term sick bed, the wording that's used is eres devoy. We know in Hebrew the word mita means bed. There are other words for bed. The Torah here chooses to use the word eres, ayin, resh, sin, which is the same letters as the word eser, 10. Because when a person is sick, it means that these 10 levels of joy have become defective. Instead of eser, there is now eres. The word devoy, which means sadness, is the letters dalid, vav, yud. The same as the letters Yud, Vav, Dalet. The number 10, which is the letter Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet, is spelled Yud. The Meforshim speak about this, that this refers again to this, to a defectiveness in joy and simcha. We just said a few lines earlier, Alei Osor Valei Novel Ki Simachtani, that through the 10 levels of song and joy of simcha, that's what gives a person the greatest spiritual high, and that's what gives a person the highest level of energy. When that becomes defective, when a person is lacking in that, it results in eres devoy, this sick bed. Whereas in the future, there's going to be such great simcha, all illnesses are going to disappear, are going to be cured. Horoyfe lishvurei lev u'mechabe shlatzvoysam, we said. And then Hashem will be this Rosh Chayla. Hashem will lead the dance, this circle. Because Simcha is the cure-all of all illnesses. And this is why happiness and this expression of happiness, when a person is so happy that they're dancing from joy, that's like the height of Simcha, is called Chayla. A dance, when people are dancing in a circle as an expression of joy, it's called chayle or mochel. Because this is the tikkun of all types of sickness. Therefore, a Jew has to put every effort, expend every effort, and work very hard to be only happy. Not 60%, to strive to achieve maximum happiness, tamid, all the time. And here Rabbeinu Zal says, because the nature of a human being, the default, if you're not working at this, the default is for the person to be naturally pulled downward, to be pulled down into depression and sadness, as a result of all the terrible things that every single human being is experiencing in this world. Rabbeinu Zal uses the word pigei and mikrei hazman. In every single generation, times are bad, times are difficult. People experiencing all kinds of difficulties, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's seeking out a marriage partner, all the different struggles that people go through, these struggles exist in all generations. And Rabbeinu Zal says, V'chol Adam, and every single person is mole yisurim, is full of problems, full of suffering. This is a statement that Rabbi Nachman makes here in Likutei Moran. and he makes it in several other places in his Sforim. In the book Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, Sichoi Soran, the last 4 or 5 pages, Rabbi Nazal says, now let me tell you what life is really all about in this world. And Rabbi Nazal starts explaining that this world is not a spa. It's not a vacation center. If you think if that's what you're looking for, you're going to find out that you're in the wrong place. Because everybody, and that term everybody, he doesn't use it lightly. If he says everybody, he really means everybody. Everybody in this world, the guy who has $3 billion and the guy who doesn't have 10 cents and the person who's in critical in the hospital ward, and the person who's doing 300 laps in the pool, all of them have a lot of difficulties, suffering, problems, struggle in this world. Everybody. This is what Rabbi Nazal says. And a person who is honest, I once had the privilege of spending time with one of the great rabbis of this generation, the previous generation. He just passed away maybe 10 years ago. Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, Zichron Avrocha, who was a rabbi in Elizabeth, New Jersey, the rabbi of the city, and also was a rabbi who had the privilege of helping Russian Jewry a lot before communism fell, when communism was still prevailing. And he once mentioned to me that the Torah is referred to as Toras Chaim, the Torah of life, a book of life. And he said that his understanding of this was that if a person wants to understand life, everyone has questions about life, why, all the different whys in life, the answers to all of those questions are found in the Torah. If a person studies Torah properly, the Torah will teach you everything you could possibly need to know and want to know about life. And if a person wants to understand Torah, if a person wants to really understand and appreciate Torah, the best commentary on Torah is life. Live. Live. Open your eyes. Live in this world and keep your eyes open and your ears open. You know, be conscious of what's going around you, and you will see the truth of the Torah with incredible clarity. That'll be your best explanation. You'll see the video. That's the Torah live, you know, on video. So for Rabbi Nazal says, Kol Odom Mole Yisurin, if a person is honest, and if a person will look honestly at people around them and talk and learn, they'll find that everybody has their peckle. Each person has their package. Therefore, a person has to force himself. Rabbi Nazal uses incredible wording here. Lahachriach es atzmoi bekoyach godol. A person has to work very, very hard at this and to push himself, to force himself to be happy at all times and to be able to get himself to become happy with whatever you can, whatever it takes to bring the person to this state of happiness. Even mili d'shtusa, even silliness, even things that some people might say, why are you doing that? That's silly, that's nutty, that's a dumb thing to do. As long as you're not hurting any other human being in any way, and as long as you're not going against, chas v'shalom, any command of Hashem in the Torah, whether it's bein odom lamokoyim, bein odom l'chaveiroi, if a person has to do things that can be perceived as silly, dumb, unintelligent, in order to get themselves happy, Rabbi Nazar says it's very important to do that at times. And if you don't, you will suffer the consequences. At times you will find that without this, by trying to use normal channels, intellectual means of being happy, it won't work for you at certain times. And if you don't know about this, if you don't recognize and accept the importance of employing this item called mili d'shtusa, you're going to be in big trouble, chas v'shalom. Big, big trouble. Rav Nosson Zal points out on Likutei Halachos that this is the secret of one of the holiest holidays that we have in the Jewish calendar year, the holiday of Purim, where the Tikkuni Zohar goes so far to say that Yom Kippur is a very special holiday, very important, very religious, but it's almost as big as Purim. Yom Kippur is called Natar Yom Kippurim. It's a day that's like Purim. It's not as great as Purim. It's close. It comes close. And Rav Nosson Zal says, and again, what do we do on Purim? On Purim, we're doing certain things that are perceived by many people as silliness. Bringing packages of cakes and sweets to other people. You have a majority of people walking around today that say that that's usur. What do you mean? You got to deliver whole wheat bread and organic chickens? This is an expression of silliness and foolishness. Sweets and things like that. And banging, you know, when we hear Haman recited at the Megillah, people banging their feet. What are we, prehistoric? What kind of thing is this? And the Suda getting drunk, certainly drinking to excess on Purim, that for sure is an expression of silliness. And all of these on Purim are mitzvah. We have the example, another example that's given, of one of the greatest Jews that ever lived, David HaMelech, where the Torah tells us that at one point in his life, he was running for his life from Shaul HaMelech, opposition that he had, and he went into the land of the Philistines. And there were people there that saw him and recognized that he was the character who had murdered their idol, Goliath, who had defeated Goliath. And they captured him, and they brought him before the king, expecting that they would get an incredible reward for this. And here's David HaMelech in the hands of his worst enemies, the Philistines. No weapons, nobody to help him. He's finished. It's all over. And he's there in front of the king of the Pelishtim, Achish Melech Gas. And the Torah says, he looked around, he understood, he did a reality check. He saw exactly what his situation was, and he realized that there was only one way out, to make himself crazy. And the Torah says he started drooling, he started pulling on the curtains, performing, like acting like a crazy person. And the Navi says the king looked at him, and he looked at the guys that brought him in, and he said, "You guys think I don't have enough nuts here? We don't have enough nuts. You brought another one to fill the pot? Get him out of here!" And they're looking at him pleading, but, just get him out of here, get rid of him. And this is how David HaMelech's life was saved at that time. This story appears in the Torah Shebichsav, in the written Torah, in the Navi Shmuel. Why does this story appear there? We know that the Torah is not a storybook, and it's not a history book. The word Torah is Miloshen Hoira. Every single thing that appears in the Torah is teaching us. It's a limud for us. Rav Nosson Zal points out on Likutei Halachos that this teaches us that there are times in our lives, every one of us, when we're going to feel ourselves surrounded and we're in a situation where if we don't do something drastic, dramatic, it's all over. And David HaMelech showed the way. David HaMelech revealed this secret of Mili Deshtusa, that at times, this is what can save a person from the most severe harm and destruction, Chas V'Shalom. Rabbeinu Zal says, although Lev Nishbor, although when a Jew stands before Hashem feeling very small, very tiny, very humble, very brokenhearted, not in the sense of depression, brokenhearted, feeling bad about how I'm not performing as good as I would like to. I'm not succeeding in giving Hashem the nachas, the satisfaction that I would like to. I'm not succeeding in pleasing the people around me, all kinds of different things. Although Lev Nishbor is something very special, despite that, Rabbeinu Zal says, it's only for a short period of time in a day that a Jew is allowed to allow themselves that luxury, to allow themselves to experience that feeling of brokenheartedness, feeling, looking at myself and perceiving myself as being very far from Hashem, not as good as I'd like to be, but not angry about it, not destructive, but rather just feeling small and feeling like I really want to plead and beg Hashem like a child begging a father, help me. I'm helpless on my own. I can't help myself. I really desperately need your help. Even though this slave Nishbor is something very special in Judaism, Rabbi Nizal says, keep it short. Limit it to a short period of time in the day. 1 hour a day maximum, when a person is having a spoidus, they're allowed to allow themselves into that place called Lev Nishbor and pour out their heart to Hashem, pleading with Hashem for help. The rest of the day, the other 23 hours a day, stay away from that. Only simcha, only happiness. Because Lev Nishbor, Rabbi Nizal says, can easily slide into atzvus. From Lev Nishbor, when a person's in that frame of mind, if he's not strong enough in his faith in Hashem, in his self-confidence, in his faith in himself, it's very easy to slide, chas v'shalom, into depression, into despair, into giving up. Much more so, much easier than it is for a person who's happy to cross the line and go into a place of happiness which is wrong, which is sinful, which is improper. Rabbi Nizal says it's much more easy and natural to slide from Lev Nishbor into Atzvus than it is from Simcha into a treif kind of Simcha, into a wrong kind of Simcha, such as Hoilalus. The term Hoilalus means where a person's happiness is without boundaries, and therefore he crosses certain lines that he's not really supposed to cross. Therefore, a person should make sure to always be happy just for a short point of time during the day to allow himself this Lev Nishbor. Other than that, only Simcha. Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we'll clarify and expound on what we've learned in this Torah a little bit further. Mitzvah Shem.